Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our holy God, God, we thank you for this day. God, may everything we say bring honor to your name. Open our hearts, open our minds. May we hear what you'd have us hear. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. We're in this series, Top 10. We're looking at God's top 10 list, the 10 commandments. I believe there are 10 rock-solid values for living. And we started with the first command a few weeks ago. It's the most important command. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. In other words, we are to prioritize God. We're to acknowledge God's presence, God's power. We're to worship God and honor God, give God that number one spot in our lives, in every area of our lives. And then last week, we focused on the second command that's very closely associated with the first. And it says, you shall not make for yourself an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. We are not to serve, we're not to worship, we're not to waste our worship and bow down to anything or anyone else in this world. And today we're going to look at the third command that says, do not misuse my name. God says, I am the Lord your God, and I will punish anyone who misuses my name. God is serious about his name. And I believe at first glance, when you look at that command, you think, oh, it's just about words. But friends, it is bigger than that. It is about more than words in our lives. God says, take my name serious. Do not misuse my name. And I think, well, why would God be so sensitive about his name? But a name represents a lot of things. I mean, it represents your reputation. I've heard people say, hey, they're making a reputation for themselves. Or, you know, someone will say they have a good reputation. So we say they have a good name. You know, someone has a bad reputation, we say they have a bad name. If you say a name, many times you think of their just who they are. You know, you automatically think about their reputation. For instance, I'm going to give you some names. I want you just to think about their reputation. Abraham Lincoln. Adolf Hitler. Martin Luther King Jr. Bernie Madoff. Arnold Palmer. Johnny Manziel. Immediately, you thought of things, didn't you? That had to do with the reputation. And I'm sure whether we're aware of it or not, I mean, this may be a newsflash to some of you this morning, we're in a political campaign. How many of you are ready for it to be over? I mean, have you noticed how many of the candidates are invoking names of previous leaders that they either want to attach themselves to, or in some cases, they're wanting to detach themselves from the reputation of previous leaders. But reputation is in name. I think also a name represents character. Who we are cannot be separated from our name. The fact is, our character, once it is established, it becomes identified together with our names, true? You know, the Bible, oftentimes parents would name their children after character qualities. They would have a meaning to their name, like honesty or justice. And in fact, many times in the Bible, you will find when their lives were changed, when they finally bowed a knee to God, that God would give them a new name, or they'd have a new mission in life, and God would rename them. And so we have Abram becomes Abraham. You know, Jacob becomes Israel. You know, Simon becomes Peter, the rock. And God changed their names to represent a new character, a new chapter in their lives. You know, name also, I believe, represents authority. You know, the police stop you. They don't say, stop in the name of SpongeBob, right? They say, stop in the name of the law, because they're connected. Why? Because there's authority behind names. Now, I remember several years ago, I think I've shared this before, but I was in my office downstairs, and I was grabbing something, and I was on my way to dinner, and the phone rang. And normally when the phone rings before dinner or during dinner, I just don't answer, but some reason I picked it up, because normally it's someone trying to sell you something, or they're doing a poll or whatever. But the person on the other end, they said, hey, did I catch you at a bad time? And I was a little bit suspicious, but I thought, oh, this voice sounds familiar. And I said, no, I'm fine. And the person on the other end said, well, this is Barbara Walters. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, who is this really? You know, who's trying to get back at me? Who's trying to prank me? And so I'm just kind of listening. And she ended up saying, she said, can I have a half hour of your time? I want to talk about death. And she explained she was in Peoria, Illinois, and she just went through the phone book, found my name, and she was doing some research for a future piece that she was thinking about doing. And so we started talking. And Cindy came to the top of the stairs a couple times and like, dinner's ready, and she yelled at me. And so she comes downstairs, and she gives me one of those looks, and she goes, who are you talking to? And so I mouth, Barbara Walters. And she's like, I wrote Barbara Walters down, and she goes, you know, and like, whatever. See what I got to put up with, huh? Oh, somebody's giving her a little love there, it sounded like, so. I mean, if it had been a salesperson, I probably would have said, take me off the list. You know, if it had been Barbara Jones, I might have said, hey, can I call you back after dinner? But it was Barbara Walters. And so that name mattered. There's a certain amount of authority that comes in a name. I mean, names mean a lot, and it kind of shifts according to who they are. You think about Bill Gates. There's something in that name, isn't there? Bill Murray. You know, Bill Belichick. Bill Russell. Bill Bailey. Buffalo Bill. I mean, the name, it shifts, but there's a lot in a name. And God says, when you misuse my name, it is a big deal. Because you are defaming my reputation. You're defaming my character. You're defaming my authority. Because it's in my name. And friends, there are a lot of ways that we misuse God's name. I mean, we misuse God's name when we use it as an insult. You know, when we use it as profanity or swearing, kind of an expression of irritation. You know, I think America is one of the most foul-mouthed nations in the country or in the world. Today, you can't go to a movie or even watch TV without hearing it. You know, in fact, movies won't sell if they're G-rated. Nobody wants to go see them. So Hollywood intentionally adds a lot of profanity, other things as well, in order to get that R rating. You know, you read books, magazines, you see it regularly. You know, movies and even video games now have to have that kind of warning label that says explicit language. And sometimes I think they're underselling it because they ought to say, this is really explicit language. Comedians, shock jocks, talk show hosts, even commercials. Have you noticed lately, even commercials start to push that envelope? You can't avoid hearing it. I've always said it doesn't take much intellect to swear. You could teach a three-year-old to swear, and parents, you ought to be careful what you say around your three-year-olds because they will repeat it, and then you've got a really awkward moment. But you can teach a three-year-old, you can teach a parrot to swear. I heard a good one the other day. This guy, he bought a parrot, and so he got it home, and this parrot started swearing. And I mean, it's swearing a blue streak. And so he's begging and pleading with the bird to quit using the words, and it just got worse and worse and worse. And finally, he got a hold of the parrot, and he's shaking it, and it just got louder and louder. And so he's exasperated with this parrot, so he puts him in the freezer. And suddenly it got real quiet. And he opened the door and the bird's in there shaking and got its head hung low. And he says, I'm sorry. I'll never use a foul word again. No pun intended. He says, forgive me. And the guy couldn't believe it. This is astonishing, the transformation in this bird. And so the parrot was doing really well, and finally he said, "Hey, can I ask you something? What did the chicken do?" If you didn't get it, turn to your neighbor; they'll explain it. So, yeah, I've said this. I have a very unique perspective on the whole profanity thing. Many of you know I love to play basketball, and I've been around some of the most spectacular swearers ever. They're out there on the court, and it's always interesting to me, a little humorous, but I'll have someone new, and they'll be playing ball, and they'll throw out the F word, and they'll throw out a few GD phrases, and you name it, I've heard it all. And after the game, I always make a point, anybody new, to kind of get talking to them, and there's always the introduction of, hey, I'm Damon, and they'll tell me who they are, and then at some point, they'll ask me, they say, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" I love that moment. Love it. I love to watch people that have been violating the third command because they have this reaction in that moment. They say, "Hey, what do you do for a living?" And I go, "Pastor." And inside, I'm laughing hysterically at this point, but they always look like they've been electrocuted. And I can see them kind of mentally rewinding the last hour or two. And then they usually apologize. And what gets me is we usually play the rest of the evening, and I never hear a word out of them. And if I do, they go, I'm sorry. You know, so. See, it takes discipline, maturity, and self-control not to swear, especially when you're angry or frustrated, when you know, you get cut off in traffic or whatever. Be careful with slang. A lot of slang is simply watered down profanity. When we use God's name in vain, when we use it as an insult, an expression of irritation, we're breaking the third command. And I think that's kind of the obvious one for us. But we misuse God's name when we use it to indulge in our lives. We excuse ourselves. We blame God somehow in it. Exodus 27 says, "Do not misuse my name. I'm the Lord God." Yeah, here we go. Titus 1:16, it says, "They claim to know God, but they deny God by the things they do. They're detestable, disobedient, and disqualified to do anything good." God doesn't want me to honor that contract. You know, God doesn't want me to fulfill that deal. God doesn't want me to stay in the marriage. See, we use God, we start leveraging God. And we use God in a way that God never intended. God wants me to quit my job. God wants me to bail out. I've prayed about it, and God wants me to do this, this, or this. And so the fact is, we use God to indulge what we want. We've not really prayed about it or sought God's guidance. We use God's name to kind of cover our selfishness, to validate our decisions. We hide behind the name of God. We lie about God in a sense because we want to do what we want to do in our lives. And I think it's closely related to when we misuse God's name to intimidate people. And some are pros at this in their lives. You know, God told me you should do such and such. God told me what's wrong with you. God told me how to fix you. God told me you're supposed to lend me some money. And we use God's name, and again, it's more lying, it's to intimidate, it's to leverage. You know, parents, be careful on this one. You know, I know sometimes you get frustrated with your kids. You know, you've tried talking to your kids about making good choices. You've tried restrictions. You've tried the timeouts. You get frustrated. And so what do? You pull out the big gun at some point, right? If you keep doing that, God's going to get you. You know, sometimes husbands, I'll hear them say, they'll say, well, wives are supposed to submit to their husbands. And that's true. But most of the time, when men quote that, they take it out of context. They forget the other half that calls for mutual submission. Calls for them to love their wives like Christ loves the church. See, people many times start misquoting Scripture. They start twisting Scripture to get their way. And again, they're misusing God's name. You know, spouses doing it in marriage all the time. I prayed about this. God wants me to get that Corvette. And this is more than self-indulging. It's about intimidation. Again, didn't really seek God's guidance. But instead of owning the decision, they hide behind God. Because God gives you clout, right? I mean, how can you argue with that? How can you argue with God? Again, it's a form of intimidation. It's also a form of what I'd call fraud. I mean, fraud, if you look it up, it's deception for personal gain. And there are a lot of spiritual frauds in this world. We misuse God's name. God told me this. God told me that. This is what I'm supposed to do. And basically, we're banking on the response being, oh, it must be true. Now, I will tell you, it may be true. It may not be true. Be very, very careful speaking for God. You know, we misuse God's name when we use it to try and impress people. You know, insecure believers, they do this a lot in life. They'll try and prove how spiritual they are by their jargon, by their religious phrases, their spiritual cliches. It's like they believe if they use the name Jesus a lot and God a lot, that they'll be perceived as more spiritual. You know, I've met people that try and impress me, they catch me after the service, and I mean, this isn't an exact quote, but they'll come up and go, praise God, that was an amazing sermon, hallelujah, Jesus is so good, and I'm kind of like, whoa, okay, you know. See, it's more than words. I mean, talk does not impress, but lifestyle does. Lifestyle does. Now we're ready for this scripture, aren't we? They claim to know God, but they deny God by the things that they do. They're detestable, disobedient, and disqualified to do anything good. That's not really the resume you want, is it? Christians, you take God's name in vain when you claim to be committed, but you don't back it up with how you live. I mean, what does your life say? It is more than words. I love the Lord. I love God. God's number one in my life. It's word and deed in life. You know, are you obedient to God? You know, are you meeting with God on a daily basis? Are you reading your Bible regularly? Are you praying regularly? Are you at church regularly? Are you involved in ministry? You know, are you sharing your faith with the people that God puts into your life? You know, are you putting God first? Are you putting God first in your life, in your marriage, in your family? Is God first at work? Is God first in your finances? Is God first in your recreation? Are you using God's name? Christians, we do. I'm a Christian. It's more than words. It's more than words. We misuse God's name when we use his name kind of impulsively, I'll say. Many of us fall into this trap when God's name becomes kind of a convenient expression of fear or anger or joy, amazement, surprise. You know, I caught a 15-pound fish. My God. Did you hear? Christy's pregnant. OMG. And man, we like to text that one, don't we? And friends, I want to suggest we reduce God to a wow. Do not make God an exclamation point in your language. We use God's name impulsively when we use God's name without even thinking about it. The fact is, you can worship impulsively. You can take the Lord's name at church. You know, we can be singing a song, and you're singing the words, but you're not even thinking about it, and your heart's sure not in it. Simply going through the motions. Isaiah writes this, the Lord says, these people, they worship me with their words. They honor me by what they say. But their hearts are far away from me. The worship doesn't mean anything to me. It's more than words. I mean, how about when you pray? Have you ever prayed and you're kind of in a hurry, and so you kind of pull out the standard prayer, you know, prayer number three? I've done it. I mean, I'll admit it. You say the words, but you're not really thinking about it. And friends, I want to challenge you and say it's more than words. I mean, you ever use God's name as a filler? You know that prayer with, you know, dear Jesus, we want to thank you, God. God, may this be a great day, dear Lord. Oh, Father, thank you for this wonderful existence. Oh, God, we hear, and we keep using God's name over and over and over. Every other word. Friends, God's name is more than just a word. Jesus said this, he says, when you pray, do not use a lot of meaningless words, as the pagans do, who think that their God will hear them because of their prayers are long. Friends, we can talk directly to God. We can have a conversation with God. And we may think it sounds more spiritual to throw a lot of God language in there, but be very careful. Be very, very careful. I mean, the next time you pray, I challenge you to kind of assess your prayer a little bit. And every time you say God's name, whether it be God or Jesus or Lord or whatever language you're using, make sure it's registering. See, I think sometimes we use God's name as kind of a filler to buy time so we can figure out what am I going to say next. And I want to just suggest it's okay to pause. It's okay to think. It's okay to have a little silence. God understands silence. But when you say God's name, make sure it's not a meaningless phrase. God is more than word. More than a word. Now, here's the deal. Everybody here, you notice I keep saying that through these commandments, but everybody here has broken this command not using God's name in vain, not misusing God's name. Maybe not by swearing or an insult, although I'm sure many of us have. But we've used God's name maybe to indulge ourselves, to get our way, to intimidate someone. Maybe we've used it to try and impress somebody. Maybe we've used it kind of impulsively and just it rolled off our tongue. We didn't really think about it. But God's serious about this. It's in God's top 10 list. The 10 really important things in life. God says, do not misuse my name. This is not a minor issue. In fact, Old Testament, Leviticus 24, you can read it later, but if a person was caught taking God's name in vain, this is Old Testament law, they were to be executed. It was a capital offense. Think about that. So my point is, don't kid yourself. God's name is serious business, serious business. Malachi 2:2 says, if you do not listen, and if you do not resolve to honor my name, says the Lord Almighty, I will send a curse on you, and I will curse your blessings. Friends, we cannot expect that God will bless our lives, that God will fulfill the things that he wants to in our lives, if we're just disregarding the commands, not obeying them. I mean, when we misuse God's name, we are offending the creator of this universe, the God that created and formed us for a purpose. We should treat God's name with awe. And I would guess that most of us just need to bow our heads and apologize to God because we didn't realize how serious it was. In fact, we hadn't really thought about it. But the name of God is more than words. When we use God's name correctly in our lives, and our lives scream that we honor God, God begins to bless. And friends, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of verses that talk about the name of God. That if you honor and reverence God, that he'll bless you. Says he'll bless you with success. He'll bless you with health. He'll bless you with peace of mind. He'll bless you with good relationships. Promise after promise after promise. And I don't know about you, but I want those blessings in my life. So how do you begin to be obedient to the third command? Just real quickly, want to hit these. We should always, always honor God's name. Honor God's name. Not reference God's name. Not just say God's name. But reverence God's name. You know, treat God's name with full respect. Use God's name very thoughtfully and carefully and lovingly. Do not let God's name just slip out kind of flippantly, but to really think about how we use God's name. The psalmist says, praise the Lord and honor his name. Worship the Lord in all his holy beauty. You know, make God's name an act of worship in your life by not just what you say, but what you do. When you say God, when you say Lord, mean it. I mean, consider this. Psalmist writes and says, for you've heard my vows, O God, to praise you every day. And you have given me the blessing you reserve for those who reverence your name. We should honor God's name, not just in word, but in deed in our lives. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you represent God. If you call yourself a believer, you should act like a believer. You know, Paul writes 2 Timothy 2, he says, The Lord knows those who are his, and those who say they belong to the Lord must turn away from wrongdoing. If you're a Christian, if you call yourself a Christian, do not drag the name of Jesus Christ through the mud. You know, honor God's name. And it's more than words. It's doing it in deed. It's more than saying, hey, I love you, God. But it's showing God and honoring God by how we live. Not just here, but when we go out of here, at work on Monday. You know, there are two reasons why people do not give their lives to Jesus Christ. One, they've never met a Christian or had anybody explain it to them. Two, they've met a Christian who claims to be a Christian, but it was in name only. All words, no deeds. Their lifestyle was a really bad advertisement for Christianity. And here's the truth. People are watching you. If you're a Christian, people are watching you. The world's watching you. They are evaluating your speech. They're evaluating your actions. They're evaluating and checking you out to see how you're different. You are a witness to the world, and it is more than words. It is more than words. Not only is it what you say, it's what you do. You need to guard your mouth. And you need to guard your actions and think about what is the world seeing. And we need to rely on God's name wholly, fully, completely, always. It's all that matters when it all gets boiled down. You know, Jesus, he said, John 16:23 says, most certainly I tell you, whatever you may ask of the Father in my name, he'll give it to you. I mean, why do we pray in Jesus' name? You hear that often at the end of prayers. In Jesus' name. We pray that because we have no right to even come before God on our own. You know, God is perfect. God is holy. But because of Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ died for our sins, because he was willing to give it all up, we can have a personal relationship with God. Now we're able to talk to God. We're able to have this going on because of Jesus Christ. You know, Acts 4:12, it says Jesus is the only one who can save people. His name is the only power in the world that has been given to save anyone. You must be saved through him. We've all broken some of the commandments, which means we all need a Savior. And salvation is only possible because of one name. One name, and that's Jesus. He's the only way. We put it together again. Yeah. How many of you, when you were a kid, ever got your mouth washed out with soap? Let me see. I'm not even sure if you're allowed to do that anymore. I mean, you got your mouth washed out because you said something you weren't supposed to say, right? I had my mouth washed out several times. Any soap connoisseurs here? I mean, my grandma washed my mouth out several times, and so I would just take a bite of the soap just to say, I love soap, Grandma, you know, but I'm just saying. Here's what I figured out, though. Soap doesn't work. Because the problem isn't the mouth. It's the heart. And whatever's going on inside you as adults, whatever's going on inside comes out when you're under pressure. You know, when you're filled with anxiety or tension, turmoil, fear, anger, bitterness, whatever. Whatever's in there, in the day-to-day life, at some point it spills out, doesn't it? Jesus said, what people say with their mouth comes from what fills their heart. The only way you're ever going to clean things up in your language, the only way you're going to keep from misusing God's name, and we've talked about all the ways you can misuse God's name, the only way that we fully and completely begin to honor God's name is by allowing Jesus Christ to change our hearts, period. It's through Jesus Christ that we do that. We're going to stand and have prayer, and I want us to pray this psalm together. Let's stand. And this should be our prayer. Maybe pray it all this week, but in unison, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable, O Lord, my rock, my redeemer. Our holy God, we praise you. And God, I pray that the words that we say, that they would honor you. God, when we say Christian, that we honor you, not just in word, but deed. God, I pray every time, whatever the word, whether it be Lord or Savior, that we would think about the weight. All you gave up for us. We think about your love. That it wouldn't just be a word that we say, but it would be something that we embed in our hearts. God, I pray we'd honor you with all we say and do. And God's people said, amen. God bless. Let's worship together.